All right, let's dive into purchasing management today.
Okay.
We're going deep with this excerpt from a business textbook.
Sounds good.
And you might be surprised to learn that it's way more than just getting the lowest price.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's about how those purchasing decisions ripple out and affect a company's whole financial picture.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a strategic function that's often overlooked, unfortunately.
Right.
People think it's just about buying stuff,
Yeah.
but it's really about understanding the financial impact of every purchase.
Okay, so let's break that down.
Sure.
What kind of financial impact are we talking about?
Well, the most obvious impact is on a company's bottom line.
Okay.
Think about it. Negotiating a better price with the supplier, even a small percentage difference,
Yeah.
can add up to significant savings over time,
Right.
directly boosting profits.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing it's not just about getting a discount and calling it a day.
Exactly. There are so many layers to consider. For example, imagine you secure a 60-day payment term with a key supplier.
Okay.
That gives you an extra month to use that cash,
Right.
maybe even invest it
Or.
in short-term instruments and earn a return before you have to pay the supplier.
Right.
That directly boosts your return on assets,
Right.
a key profitability ratio.
Wow, I've never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
It's like a hidden bonus just from managing payment terms strategically.
Precisely. And that's just one example. Efficient purchasing also plays a critical role in budget control.
Okay.
Think of it like managing your personal finances. If you don't set a budget and track your spending, it's easy to overspend and end up in debt.
Right.
It's the same for companies.
So are you saying that purchasing departments should have their own budgets?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Separate from the overall company budget, they
Okay.
absolutely should.
Gotcha.
Having a clear purchasing budget and tracking expenses in real time
Yeah.
helps prevent overspending and keeps the company on track to meet its financial goals.
Okay, so we've talked about cost reduction and budget control.
Right.
What other financial vibrations do purchasing decisions send out?
Let's talk about operational efficiency.
Okay.
Streamlining the entire purchasing process can save a company significant time and money.
Give us an example.
Okay.
What does that look like in practice?
Think about the traditional way of placing orders, phone calls,
Yeah.
faxes,
Yeah.
maybe even paper forms being mailed back and forth.
Yeah, I've been
It's
there.
a slow and error-prone process.
For sure.
Now imagine using technology like electronic data interchange or EDI.
Okay.
It's basically a way for computers to talk to each other and automate those purchase orders.
So no more manual data entry and potential for human error. That
Exactly.
sounds like a huge time saver.
And then there's enterprise resource planning systems, or ERP.
Right.
These systems integrate all aspects of a company's operations, including purchasing, inventory management, and accounting,
Wow.
into a single platform.
So everyone's working from the same information in real time.
Yeah.
That's got to improve efficiency across the board.
Absolutely. And this increased efficiency translates directly into cost savings.
Makes sense.
Less time spent on manual tasks,
Right.
fewer errors, and better coordination between departments all contribute to a healthier bottom line.
This is where it gets interesting for me. The relationship between purchasing and supplier management.
Okay.
How does that fit into this financial web?
Choosing reliable suppliers is crucial,
Yeah.
but it's about more than just getting a good price.
Okay.
Nurturing those supplier relationships over the long term can yield significant financial benefits.
Okay, I'm all ears.
Okay.
Give us the specifics.
Strong supplier relationships can often lead to better payment terms,
Okay.
just like the example we talked about earlier.
Right.
You might also get greater price stability,
Okay.
even when market prices are fluctuating.
Yeah, that's huge.
And let's not forget about preferential treatment during supply shortages. If your supplier knows and trusts you, they're more likely to prioritize your needs when supplies are tight.
So these relationships become a sort of financial safety net for the company.
It is. But even with the best supplier relationships,
Yeah.
there are still costs to consider.
Okay.
Costs that many businesses overlook because they're not as obvious as the price tag on a product.
All right, let's talk about these hidden costs.
Okay.
What are we missing?
Think about all the steps involved in getting a product from the supplier to your warehouse,
Okay.
transportation, warehousing,
Yeah.
and even the potential loss from obsolete inventory.
Right.
These all factor into the total cost of a purchase.
So even if you negotiate a great deal on a product,
Right.
if it ends up sitting in a warehouse for months or even worse becomes outdated, you're actually losing money.
Exactly.
Okay.
And there are costs that are even less obvious, like opportunity costs.
Okay, break that down for us. What are opportunity costs?
Choosing one supplier over another might mean missing out on potential benefits.
Oh, what?
Maybe the other supplier offered a better warranty,
okay,
faster delivery times,
yeah,
or even access to new technology that could have boosted your own innovation.
Right.
Those are opportunities lost.
I see.
And they can impact your production, customer service,
yeah,
and ultimately your bottom line.
So it's a balancing act.
It is.
You need to weigh the immediate cost against the potential long-term gains or losses.
Exactly. And let's not forget about the cost of managing risk.
Oh.
What happens if your sole supplier experiences a disruption, like a natural disaster or a labor strike?
That's a good point.
Your entire operation could grind to a halt.
That makes me think of the recent supply chain disruptions we've seen globally.
Right.
Diversifying your supplier base seems like a smart way to mitigate that risk.
Absolutely. It's a cost that's often overlooked,
right,
but it can be significant.
Yeah.
And then there are financial costs that are directly related to how you manage the purchasing process itself.
Okay, what are those?
Think about payment terms again.
Okay.
Negotiating favorable terms, like extending your payment cycle,
yeah,
can free up cash flow.
Right.
Almost like getting an interest-free loan from your supplier.
Right.
And taking advantage of early payment discounts can also save you money.
So it's like finding hidden treasure in the fine print of your contracts.
Yeah.
These are financial levers that many businesses are probably not using to their full potential.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
And it all comes back to the idea that purchasing decisions are intertwined with a company's financial ecosystem.
So we've covered the direct costs, the hidden costs,
right,
and even the costs associated with managing risk.
Yeah.
Where do we go from here?
Now that we understand how crucial supplier selection is,
okay,
let's explore how those decisions actually show up in a company's financial statements.
All right, so we're talking about financial statements.
Yes.
For someone who's not a CPA, what should we be looking for to see how purchasing decisions are reflected?
It's like a puzzle where different pieces come together to reveal the bigger picture.
Okay.
Let's start with profitability ratios.
Okay.
Which essentially measure how effectively a company is using its resources to generate profit.
Okay. So how does purchasing fit into that?
Well, our source material highlights that efficient purchasing practices can directly impact those profitability ratios.
Okay.
For instance, remember how we talked about negotiating longer payment terms?
Yeah.
Let's say you manage to extend those terms from 30 to 60 days.
Okay.
That gives you an extra 30 days to use that cash.
Right.
Maybe even invest it in a short-term instrument and earn a small return before you have to pay your supplier.
So you're essentially making money on money you haven't even paid yet.
Exactly.
That's clever.
And that small return directly contributes to a higher return on assets.
Okay.
A key profitability ratio that investors look at.
Mm.
It shows that you're making the most of your assets, including cash,
yeah,
to generate profit.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've talked about profitability ratios. What else should we be looking at?
Another key area is working capital.
Okay.
Now, working capital is essentially a measure of a company's short-term financial health.
Yeah.
Its ability to meet those immediate financial obligations.
Okay.
It's calculated as the difference between a company's current assets, things like cash and inventory,
right,
and its current liabilities, like short-term debt and accounts payable.
So it's basically a snapshot of how much wiggle room a company has in the short term.
Exactly. And purchasing plays a critical role in managing that wiggle room.
Okay.
That working capital.
All right.
For example, by negotiating favorable payment terms with suppliers,
sure,
companies can extend their payment cycles, freeing up cash that can be used for other purposes,
right,
like investing in growth opportunities, right, or even just covering day-to-day expenses.
So it's almost like getting an interest-free loan from your suppliers by simply extending your payment terms.
Precisely.
Wow.
And it doesn't stop there.
Oh.
Another way purchasing impacts working capital is through inventory management.
Right.
By implementing just-in-time purchasing strategies,
okay,
companies can reduce the amount of cash tied up in inventory.
Just-in-time. That rings a bell.
Yeah.
Remind me how that works again.
It's all about coordinating your purchases so that materials and products arrive just when you need them.
Right.
Minimizing the amount of inventory sitting idle in your warehouse.
So less money tied up in inventory means more financial flexibility.
Exactly. It's all about optimizing that delicate balance between having enough inventory to meet demand,
right,
without having excessive stock gathering dust and draining resources.
Okay, so we've seen how purchasing can impact profitability and working capital.
Right.
What about debt?
Okay.
How do those purchasing decisions show up in a company's debt ratios?
Remember when we talked about the benefits of strong supplier relationships?
Yeah.
Favorable payment terms,
Yep.
price stability, even preferential treatment during supply shortages.
Yep.
It all adds up.
Right. Those relationships are like a financial asset for the company.
Exactly. And those strong relationships can actually lead to lower debt ratios.
Okay. I'm not sure I follow that connection.
Okay.
Break it down for me.
Imagine a company with reliable suppliers.
Okay.
Consistent cash flow
hmm.
and a good track record of managing its finances.
Yeah.
That company is less likely to need external financing,
oh.
like bank loans,
right.
to cover its operations.
Okay.
It's already in a strong position, thanks in part to those smartly negotiated purchasing agreements and healthy supplier relationships.
So it's less about borrowing money and more about using your existing resources more effectively thanks to savvy purchasing strategies.
Exactly. And that reduced need for borrowing translates into lower debt ratios,
okay.
a key indicator of financial health.
Right.
Investors and lenders look at those ratios closely,
okay.
and lower debt generally makes a company more attractive,
I see.
Further strengthening its financial position and opening up more opportunities.
This really highlights how seemingly small decisions in the purchasing department
right.
can cascade through a company's entire financial structure.
It does.
It's like a chain reaction of positive impacts.
It is. It all starts with a strategic approach to purchasing, understanding that every decision has financial implications, and then building those strong supplier relationships that can really bolster a company's position.
So we've explored the impact of purchasing on profitability,
yeah.
working capital,
right.
and debt ratios.
Yeah.
What other financial considerations should we keep in mind?
We spent a lot of time talking about the numbers,
yeah.
those quantifiable factors,
right.
but there's another layer to this.
Okay.
Something often overlooked in traditional financial analysis.
Right.
It's the human element.
Intriguing.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the less tangible aspects of supplier relationships?
Yes.
Like
reputation, innovation, right. and sustainability.
Precisely.
They may not show up directly on a balance sheet, but they can have a profound impact on a company's long-term financial health.
All right, I'm with you.
Okay.
But how do you measure the financial impact of something like a supplier's reputation?
Think about it this way.
Okay.
A supplier with a stellar reputation is likely to be more reliable.
Right.
More committed to quality.
Okay.
And more likely to stand by their products and services.
Mm-hmm.
That reliability translates into financial stability for your own company.
Because you're less likely to encounter unexpected costs
right.
associated with faulty products,
yeah.
delays, or legal disputes.
Exactly.
It's like a built-in risk management strategy.
Exactly. You're mitigating potential disruptions to your supply chain,
yeah.
which, as we've discussed, can eat into profits and damage your brand image.
For sure.
That peace of mind has a definite financial value.
Okay. I'm starting to see how these qualitative factors play a role.
Okay.
What about innovation? How does that translate into financial benefits?
Choosing suppliers who are at the forefront of their industries, constantly innovating and developing new solutions
yeah.
can give your company a competitive edge.
You're right.
Maybe they help you streamline your production process,
okay.
introduce a new product to market faster,
all right.
or even tap into a whole new customer base.
So you're not just buying a product or service.
Exactly.
You're investing in a partnership that can fuel your own growth and adaptability.
Exactly. That ability to stay ahead of the curve,
yeah.
anticipate market shifts, and
right.
constantly evolve is a powerful driver of financial success.
Mm-hmm.
It's about future-proofing your business by partnering with suppliers who are always looking ahead.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And finally, there's sustainability.
Right.
We touched on this earlier, but how does a supplier's commitment to environmental and social responsibility translate into tangible financial benefits?
Consumers are becoming increasingly aware of the impact their purchases have on the world.
Yeah.
And they're voting with their wallets. They're willing to pay a premium for products and services from companies that align with their values.
So by choosing suppliers who prioritize sustainability,
yeah.
you're essentially tapping into this growing market of conscious consumers.
Exactly. It can open up new revenue streams,
okay.
enhance brand loyalty,
right.
and even attract investors who are looking for companies that prioritize ESG,
okay.
environmental, social, and governance factors.
It's not just about doing good. It's about doing well by doing good.
Precisely. And there are cost savings to be had as well.
Okay.
Suppliers who are committed to sustainability often invest in energy efficiency,
yeah.
waste reduction,
mm.
and responsible sourcing practices. These efforts can lead to lower operational costs for both the supplier and the buyer.
So it's a win-win situation all around.
It is.
You're reducing your environmental footprint.
Yes.
Appealing to a growing segment of consumers.
Yeah.
And potentially saving money
yeah.
on operating costs.
Yeah. Exactly. It's about recognizing that sustainability is not just a feel-good initiative. It's a smart business strategy with tangible financial benefits.
This has been an incredible journey through the world of purchasing management.
It has.
We've covered so much ground.
We have.
From analyzing financial statements to understanding the ripple effects of choosing the right suppliers.
Yes.
I'm curious, what are your final thoughts on this topic?
I think.
What key takeaways do you hope our listener will remember?
It's fascinating how purchasing,
yeah.
often seen as purely transactional,
mm-hmm.
is so deeply intertwined with a company's financial health and future prospects.
It really is.
From negotiating prices to building strategic partnerships.
Right.
Every decision in the purchasing process has ripple effects that can impact profitability, working capital, debt levels,
mm-hmm.
and even a company's reputation and long-term sustainability.
It's clear that purchasing is not just a back office function.
No.
It's a key driver of financial success.
It is.
But we've been talking a lot about companies. What about individuals?
Oh, yeah.
Can these principles be applied to our personal lives as well?
Absolutely. In fact, that's what I find most exciting about this topic.
Oh, wow.
The principles we've discussed
yeah.
apply whether you're managing a household budget or negotiating a freelance contract.
Yeah.
It's all about making informed decisions and understanding the financial implications of your choices.
So we've been talking about these big picture concepts.
Right.
But how can our listener actually apply these principles to their own life?
Think about the just-in-time principle we discussed earlier.
Okay.
Instead of impulse buying that new gadget,
mm-hmm.
could you wait for a sale?
That's a good point.
Or even consider whether you really need it right now.
That's a great point. It's about being mindful of our spending habits.
It is.
And making sure our purchases align with our needs and financial goals.
Exactly. And remember the idea of opportunity cost.
Okay.
Choosing to spend your weekend binge-watching TV.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
Might mean missing out on the chance to learn a new skill, connect with loved ones, or even just relax and recharge.
It's not just about the money we spend.
It's not.
It's about the time and energy we invest.
Yeah.
Every decision has a trade-off.
Precisely. And let's not forget the importance of building strong relationships, even in our personal lives.
Okay.
Nurturing those connections can lead to unexpected opportunities and support systems.
It's like we've been saying about supplier relationships.
Yes.
It applies to our personal networks, too.
It does.
It's about fostering trust,
yeah.
mutual respect,
mm-hmm.
and a sense of shared value.
Exactly. And just like diversifying suppliers can mitigate risk for businesses,
yeah.
having a diverse network of friends, mentors, and colleagues can provide us with a wider range of perspectives and support.
So the principles of economic control in purchasing management extend far beyond the boardroom.
They do.
They can inform our decision-making in all areas of our lives.
That's right.
It's been an eye-opening deep dive into the world of purchasing management.
It has.
We've learned that it's not just about getting the lowest price.
No.
It's about understanding the far-reaching financial implications of every decision.
It is.
We've only scratched the surface, and there's a whole world of knowledge and resources out there waiting to be explored.
We have. There is.
So keep asking questions.
Yes.
Keep challenging assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
And keep diving deep.
Absolutely.
All right. So we're talking about financial statements.
Yes.
For someone who's not a CPA,
right.
what should we be looking for to see how purchasing decisions are reflected?
It's like a puzzle where different pieces come together to reveal the bigger picture.
Okay.
Let's start with profitability ratios,
right.
which essentially measure how effectively a company is using its resources to generate profit.
Okay. So how does purchasing fit into that?
Well, our source material highlights that efficient purchasing practices can directly impact those profitability ratios.
Okay.
For instance, remember how we talked about negotiating longer payment terms? Let's say you manage to extend those terms from 30 to 60 days.
Okay.
That gives you an extra 30 days to use that cash.
Right.
Maybe even invest it in a short-term instrument
hey.
And earn a small return before you have to pay your supplier.
So you're essentially making money on money you haven't even paid yet.
Exactly.
That's clever.
And that small return directly contributes to a higher return on assets.
Okay.
A key profitability ratio that investors look at,
mm-hmm.
it shows that you're making the most of your assets, including cash,
yeah.
to generate profit.
That makes sense.
Okay.
Okay, so we've talked about profitability ratios.
Right.
What else should we be looking at?
Another key area is working capital.
Okay.
Now, working capital is essentially a measure of a company's short-term financial health.
Mm-hmm.
Its ability to meet those immediate financial obligations.
Okay.
It's calculated as a difference between a company's current assets,
right.
things like cash and inventory,
right.
and its current liabilities,
right.
like short-term debt and accounts payable.
So it's basically a snapshot of how much wiggle room a company has in the short term.
Exactly. And purchasing plays a critical role in managing that wiggle room,
okay.
that working capital.
Okay.
For example, by negotiating favorable payment terms with suppliers,
yeah.
companies can extend their payment cycles,
right.
freeing up cash that can be used for other purposes,
right.
like investing in growth opportunities or even just covering day-to-day expenses.
So it's almost like getting an interest-free loan from your suppliers by simply extending your payment terms.
Precisely.
Wow.
And it doesn't stop there.
Oh, okay.
Another way purchasing impacts working capital is through inventory management.
Right.
By implementing just-in-time purchasing strategies.
Okay.
Companies can reduce the amount of cash tied up in inventory.
Just-in-time, that rings a bell.
Yeah.
Remind me how that works again.
It's all about coordinating your purchases so that materials and products arrive just when you need them.
Right.
Minimizing the amount of inventory sitting idle in your warehouse.
So less money tied up in inventory means more financial flexibility.
Exactly. It's all about optimizing that delicate balance between having enough inventory to meet demand
right.
without having excessive stock gathering dust and draining resources.
Okay, so we've seen how purchasing can impact profitability and working capital.
Right.
What about debt?
Yeah, okay.
How do those purchasing decisions show up in a company's debt ratios?
Remember when we talked about the benefits of strong supplier relationships?
Yeah.
Favorable payment terms,
yeah.
price stability,
mm-hmm.
even preferential treatment during supply shortages. It all adds up.
Right. Those relationships are like a financial asset for the company.
Exactly. And those strong relationships can actually lead to lower debt ratios.
Okay. I'm not sure I follow that connection. Break it down for me.
Imagine a company with reliable suppliers,
okay.
consistent cash flow,
yeah.
and a good track record of managing its finances.
Yeah.
That company is less likely to need external financing,
okay.
like bank loans,
right. to cover its operations.
Okay.
It's already in a strong position, thanks in part to those smartly negotiated purchasing agreements and healthy supplier relationships.
So it's less about borrowing money and more about using your existing resources more effectively, thanks to savvy purchasing strategies.
Exactly. And that reduced need for borrowing translates into lower debt ratios.
Okay.
A key indicator of financial health.
Right.
Investors and lenders look at those ratios closely.
Yeah.
And lower debt generally makes a company more attractive.
I see.
Further strengthening its financial position and opening up more opportunities.
This really highlights how seemingly small decisions in the purchasing department
right.
can cascade through a company's entire financial structure.
It does.
It's like a chain reaction of positive impacts.
It is. It all starts with a strategic approach to purchasing, understanding that every decision has financial implications,
mm-hmm.
and then building those strong supplier relationships that can really bolster a company's position.
So we've explored the impact of purchasing on profitability.
Working capital and mm-hmm. debt ratios.
Yeah.
What other financial considerations should we keep in mind?
Well, we've spent a lot of time talking about the numbers.
Yeah.
Those quantifiable factors.
Right.
But there's another layer to this.
Okay.
Something often overlooked in traditional financial analysis.
Right.
It's the human element.
Intriguing. Are you talking about the less tangible aspects of supplier relationships
yes.
like reputation,
yes.
innovation,
yeah.
and sustainability?
Precisely. They may not show up directly on a balance sheet,
yeah.
but they can have a profound impact on a company's long-term financial health.
All right, I'm with you.
Okay.
But how do you measure the financial impact of something like a supplier's reputation?
Think about it this way.
Okay.
A supplier with a stellar reputation is likely to be more reliable.
Right.
More committed to quality,
okay.
and more likely to stand by their products and services.
Mm.
That reliability translates into financial stability for your own company.
Because you're less likely to encounter unexpected costs
right.
associated with faulty products, delays, or legal disputes.
Exactly.
It's like a built-in risk management strategy.
Exactly. You're mitigating potential disruptions to your supply chain, which,
yeah.
as we've discussed, can eat into profits and damage your brand image.
For sure.
That peace of mind has a definite financial value.
Okay. I'm starting to see how these qualitative factors play a role.
Okay.
What about innovation? How does that translate into financial benefits?
choosing suppliers who are at the forefront of their industries, constantly innovating and developing new solutions, can give your company a competitive edge.
Right.
Maybe they help you streamline your production process, introduce a new product to market faster, or even tap into a whole new customer base.
So you're not just buying a product or service. You're investing in a partnership that can fuel your own growth and adaptability.
Exactly. That ability to stay ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
Anticipate market shifts and constantly evolve is a powerful driver of financial success.
Mm-hmm.
It's about future-proofing your business by partnering with suppliers who are always looking ahead.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And finally, there's sustainability.
Right.
I touched on this earlier, but how does a supplier's commitment to environmental and social responsibility translate into tangible financial benefits?
Consumers are becoming increasingly aware of the impact their purchases have on the world.
Yeah.
And they're voting with their wallets.
Right.
They're willing to pay a premium for products and services from companies that align with their values.
So by choosing suppliers who prioritize sustainability, you're essentially tapping into this growing market of conscious consumers.
Exactly. It can open up new revenue streams, enhance brand loyalty, and even attract investors who are looking for companies that prioritize ESG, environmental, social, and governance factors.
This is not just about doing good. It's about doing well by doing good.
Precisely. And there are cost savings to be had as well. Suppliers who are committed to sustainability often invest in energy efficiency, waste reduction, and responsible sourcing practices.
Okay.
These efforts can lead to lower operational costs for both the supplier and the buyer.
So it's a win-win situation all around.
It is.
You're reducing your environmental footprint.
Yes.
Appealing to a growing segment of consumers.
Yeah.
And potentially saving money on operating costs.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that sustainability is not just a feel-good initiative. It's a smart business strategy with tangible financial benefits.
This has been an incredible journey through the world of purchasing management.
It has.
We've covered so much ground.
We have.
From analyzing financial statements to understanding the ripple effects of choosing the right suppliers.
Yes.
I'm curious, what are your final thoughts on this topic?
I think,
what key takeaways do you hope our listener will remember?
It's fascinating how purchasing,
yeah,
often seen as purely transactional, is so deeply intertwined with the company's financial health and future prospects.
Huh, it really is.
From negotiating prices to building strategic partnerships,
right,
every decision in the purchasing process has ripple effects that can impact profitability, working capital, debt levels, and even a company's reputation and long-term sustainability.
It's clear that purchasing is not just a back office function.
No.
It's a key driver of financial success.
It is.
But we've been talking a lot about companies.
Right.
What about individuals?
Oh, yeah.
Can these principles be applied to our personal lives as well?
Absolutely. In fact, that's what I find most exciting about this topic.
Oh, wow.
The principles we've discussed apply whether you're managing a household budget or negotiating a freelance contract.
Right.
It's all about making informed decisions and understanding the financial implications of your choices.
So we've been talking about these big picture concepts.
Right.
But how can our listener actually apply these principles to their own life?
Think about the just-in-time principle we discussed earlier.
Okay.
Instead of impulse buying that new gadget, could you wait for a sale or even consider whether you really need it right now?
That's a great point. It's about being mindful of our spending habits.
It is.
And making sure our purchases align with our needs and financial goals.
Exactly. And remember the idea of opportunity cost.
Okay.
Choosing to spend your weekend binge-watching TV.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
Might mean missing out on the chance to learn a new skill, connect with loved ones, or even just relax and recharge.
It's not just about the money we spend.
It's not.
It's about the time and energy we invest.
Yeah.
Every decision has a trade-off.
Precisely. And let's not forget the importance of building strong relationships,
even
in our personal lives.
Okay.
Nurturing those connections can lead to unexpected opportunities and support systems.
It's like we've been saying about supplier relationships.
Yes.
It applies to our personal networks, too.
It does.
It's about fostering trust, mutual respect, and a sense of shared value.
Exactly. And just like diversifying suppliers can mitigate risk for businesses, having a diverse network of friends, mentors, and colleagues can provide us with a wider range of perspectives and support.
So the principles of economic control in purchasing management extend far beyond the boardroom.
They do.
They can inform our decision-making in all areas of our lives.
That's right.
It's been an eye-opening deep dive into the world of purchasing management.
It has.
We've learned that it's not just about getting the lowest price.
Yeah.
It's about understanding the far-reaching financial implications of every decision.
It is.
We've only scratched the surface, and there's a whole world of knowledge and resources out there waiting to be explored.
We have. There is.
So keep asking questions.
Yes.
Keep challenging assumptions and keep diving deep.
Absolutely.
So we've been talking about these big picture concepts.
Right.
But how can our listener actually apply these principles to their own life?
Think about the just-in-time principle we discussed earlier.
Okay.
Instead of impulse buying that new gadget, could you wait for a sale?
That's a good point.
Or even consider whether you really need it right now.
That's a great point. It's about being mindful of our spending habits and making sure our purchases align with our needs and financial goals.
Exactly. And remember the idea of opportunity cost.
Okay.
Choosing to spend your weekend binge-watching TV.
Oh, yeah.
Might mean missing out on the chance to learn a new skill, connect with loved ones, or even just relax and recharge.
It's not just about the money we spend.
It's not.
It's about the time and energy we invest.
Exactly.
Every decision has a trade-off.
Precisely. And let's not forget the importance of building strong relationships.
Oh, wait.
Even in our personal lives.
Yeah.
Nurturing those connections can lead to unexpected opportunities and support systems.
It's like we've been saying about supplier relationships.
Yes.
It applies to our personal networks, too.
Yes, it does.
It's about fostering trust, mutual respect, and a sense of shared value.
Exactly. And just like diversifying suppliers can mitigate risk for businesses, having a diverse network of friends, mentors, and colleagues can provide us with a wider range of perspectives and support.
So the principles of economic control and purchasing management extend far beyond the boardroom.
They do.
They can inform our decision-making in all areas of our lives.
That's right.
It's been an eye-opening deep dive into the world of purchasing management.
It has.
We've learned that it's not just about getting the lowest price.
Right.
It's about understanding the far-reaching financial implications of every decision.
It is.
We've only scratched the surface, and there's a whole world of knowledge and resources out there waiting to be explored.
Absolutely.
So keep asking questions, keep challenging assumptions, and keep diving deep.